So at least one message from this story of Mary and Martha and Jesus together is that there's something wonderful and good about sitting down and listening to Jesus' word. It's the better part, you might say. But God forgive me. Whenever I hear this story, before I want to sit down and listen to Jesus, I would like to sit down with him and tell him a few things. Give him, if you'll allow it, a piece of my mind about how this whole scene with the two sisters went down and how he resolved it. For it started, it seemed, with two women making different choices at odds with one another. Martha with her broom and her cooking pans and her measuring cups, busy in the kitchen. And Mary doing in that day what the men would normally do, meaning being the student, the disciple, sitting at the feet of the teacher. And of course, there's some resentment there on Martha's part and jealousy, perhaps. And resentment and jealousy usually result in division, a division which Jesus only seems to deepen and widen. And he tells Martha that she's distracted and worried, and that Mary's chosen that good part. I'd like to tell Jesus that while I think that what he meant to say was that his word was the good thing, what so many people in the church have heard instead is Mary good, Martha not so good. And I'd like to tell him that for centuries now, his disciples and women especially have tried to divide themselves up as to whether they are Mary's or Martha's, and how there are lots of spirituality books out there about how to have a Mary spirit in a Martha world. And I'd like to tell him about the guilt that so many of the busy and active coffee-making, hospitality-offering women have when they read this story. The very women who make the coffee hours and the funeral dinners possible. And is that really what he meant, and is it necessary? And I'd like to tell him that I understand that he was allowing women to be his students, just like the men were, and I appreciate that. But I'd like him to know that that good purpose, of course, just runs smack into so many issues that we have about women and their work and the ways they spend their time. I'd like to remind him about the ways that women get socialized to do certain kinds of work, and how not all of us were encouraged by our parents or our teachers to be students or to do the things that men have always done. I'd like him to know that no matter what anyone decides, there are usually doubts and fears running around in the back of our minds about whether we've made the right choices. And I'd clue him in that while it may have been that Martha was the one who appeared distracted by her many tasks, it is just as possible that Mary was sitting at his feet, one ear on the word and the other, but in the back of her mind, questions about whether or not her daughter had the poster board and glitter glue she needed for her school project later that week. And I'd like him to know that for some of us, there are very few choices. There's just doing what you have to do to pay the bills and put food on the table or take care of the children while the husband is working. And how for all of us, rest and time to be still are often in short supply. And I'd tell him that the guilt and the fears and the doubts have this weird way of combining to produce judgment and division among ourselves, projected jealousies and blame, generational misunderstandings among women with different opportunities, familial disagreements among parents and in-laws. Do you know, I'd like to ask him, that complete strangers will come up to young mothers in the grocery stores and offer them their opinions about their parenting? I'd like him to know all these things. I'd like him to listen to me and so many that I know, and then and only then, sitting at his feet, would I then like to listen to his word. The word as he always taught it. The word that he always preached. The word that is not, surprise of surprises, not about having a Mary spirit in a Martha world, because it is never a word that is about us, but always, first and foremost, a word about God. And a word from God. I'd like to hear this word, that is not about the worlds that we make, but about the world that God makes, about the kingdom that God creates, a word not about our choices, but a word about God's choice for us. And I think he would like to give us that word, having heard all that we say to him and all that we say to each other, knowing all the thoughts and doubts in our minds, all the guilt in our hearts, all the ugly judgments that we have about our neighbors. I think he would like to say that in the kingdom he brings, no one succeeds at another's expense. In the kingdom, no one is made worthy by the kind of spirit that they have, but by the spirit that he gives. That in the kingdom, no one is pitted against one another, because all find their purpose and their strength and their unity not in themselves and not in what they do, but in what God does. And I believe that he would like to say that in the kingdom he brings, there's freedom from the burdens and the unreasonable expectations, the self-loathing and the judgment, because at the foot of his cross, no one's better or worse. At the foot of his cross, we're all just people needing help, which he gives generously and abundantly. Whether we have Mary spirits or Martha spirits, because what matters is his spirit. And he'd like to say, be free from all the judgment. Because the only judgment that matters is the one that he renders. And it's full of mercy and love. He'd like to say that in the kingdom that he brings, the gifts and the talents each person brings can with humility and faith be of service to our neighbors. That in his kingdom, everyone has something to offer. And whatever it was we were told about our skills or our limitations, that is the most true thing, that we can serve. But also that in his kingdom, no one has to be forced to do work that's not in their character, because God gives everything that's needed to do the work, and when we're doing God's work, what God gives is enough. And he'd say that his kingdom heals the divisions between people because it comes with an invitation to see our fellow human beings through his eyes. So the Marys see the Marthas through the lens of God's love, and the Marthas see the Marys through that same love, and it is enough. And he would tell us that with God, it's not about our choices, but about his choice for us and his choice for grace, and that the true way to life is to just let that be the center of our lives. He would speak. And in that speaking, he would give us that one good thing, the one needful thing, grace, which is the better part. Amen.